Welcome back to the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. My name is Barry Odell, and I am your host. Fulton County Gospel News is a bi-monthly publication of the Church of Christ in Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. And if you'd like to learn more about our paper, visit our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com, and you can find all the necessary information there. If you would like to be added to one of our mailing lists, whether by email or through the United States Postal Service, let us know what we can do for you, and we'll be happy to add you to one of those lists. Also, if you've not done so, I would encourage you to subscribe to our Podbean channel, and you'll get notifications when a new episode of our podcast comes out, and then you can also interact with each individual episode. Of course, we have a Facebook presence. We have the Church of Christ at Mammoth Spring page that you can like and follow, and we also have a newer page. I started it a couple of weeks ago, and it's called the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast, and it's a public page that you can follow, and it has a lot of good biblical content on there. All right, today I want to share with you a very brief article from the August 1963 edition of Fulton County Gospel News. The article was written by Doyle Kinder, and the title is, Why Do You Believe What You Do Religiously? So I'm going to read it to you, and then we will consider some Bible passages together. Not that anyone is scorning your intelligence or belittling your sincerity, but can you trace what you believe in religious matters to the Word of God? The authority to which you allude? The religious names you wear, the way you worship God in song, the time and manner of the Lord's Supper, the way of supporting the cause, and the manner of prayer and edification? Can you give chapter and verse of a Thus Saith the Lord? I could be wrong, I have been before, but God is right. It is sufficiently evident, however, that until I can show a why by God's word, I am standing on a bursting bubble. Some people have never asked themselves why they believe what they do religiously. Some cherish creeds because they have been handed down from generation to generation. Others respect certain tenets because some preacher, teacher, or other respectable person holds them. A few have their convictions based on what they call, quote, a reasonable approach to religion, unquote. Pseudo-prophets and theologians serve as a basis for other doctrines. A faulty foundation in material structures. Would you like to be sure you are right? Here is the only way. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Anything less should cause a conscientious, eternity-bound human to quake at the thought of a day of reckoning. All right, so this article is obviously an appeal to authority for what one does and believes in the name of Jesus Christ. And so I saw this article, and I thought of a few passages that I wanted to share with you today, and in the line of the concept that the truth does not fear scrutiny. Okay, if you know what you know based on what the Bible says and understanding it within its context, is this why you do what you do religiously? Do we have, as the article said, do we have a Thus Says the Lord? So one of the first passages that came to my mind when I read this is found in John chapter 7, and it's an interesting chapter because in the initial verses we learn that Jesus' own fleshly brothers did not believe in him, and so basically they put a challenge to him. So I'm looking here in John chapter 7, and I'll start in verse 3. His brothers therefore said to him, Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret, while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Now listen to that statement again at the end of verse 4. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. And then we have this comment written by John in verse 5. For even his brothers did not believe him. So as we keep reading through the text here in John chapter 7, we get down to verse 14, and Jesus goes up to this feast, and here's what we read. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How does this man know letters, having never studied? And so basically they're calling into question Jesus' religious training, his education in the Jewish system, you might say. So here's his response, John 7:16 beginning. Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, speaking of God, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God, or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me? So I suppose that's far enough. That's John 7, verses 14 down through verse 19. And so Jesus really hits the nail on the head here with what we're dealing with in this article. So I'll read this again, beginning in verse 16. My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. And listen to this. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Well, the question then comes up, well, how would they know the difference between what God's doctrine is, God's teaching, as opposed to Jesus coming up with something on his own? Well, they had the scriptures. That's how they would know. That's what they would discuss in the temple. That's what they would discuss in the synagogues. They could know whether a doctrine would have originated with God or with some man, as they claim Jesus was, just another teacher. And again, this is the question that really comes down to us today. Why do you believe what you do religiously? Do you have a word from God on it? I think another passage that goes along well with this concept is in the book of Acts, over in chapter 17, when Paul, on his second missionary journey, goes to Thessalonica. He leaves Thessalonica because of persecution, and then he goes to Berea. Here's Acts 17, beginning in verse 10. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded. The New King James says fair-minded. The King James says noble. These were more noble, fair-minded, than those in Thessalonica. And here's the reasoning. In that they received the word with all readiness. Okay, so they were willing to listen. All right. And searched the scriptures daily to find out whether the things were so. They had an open ear, and they had an open scripture. And man, that sets down the pattern for us today. Why do you believe what you do religiously? And not just believe, why do we practice what we practice religiously? Again, do we have a word of God? Can we go to the Bible? Can we go to the new covenant of Christ and say, here is why I do this, here is why I believe this, here's why I teach this, etc.? Do I have a thus says the Lord? Now listen, we know very well, and I'm turning my Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 right now. We know very well that there are many folks out there who, in the name of God and in the name of Jesus, teach a lot of things, practice a lot of things, and often they're contradictory. But this isn't new and it shouldn't surprise us. I mean, we're warned about false prophets throughout both the Old and New Testament. Talk about false prophets. But listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and a concern that Paul had for that congregation 2,000 years ago. 2 Corinthians 11, 1. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Again, he's talking to the church. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. And as you keep reading down in the text, you get down to verse 13. He says, he's talking about these people who are stirring up trouble in Corinth. And this is why he's so concerned about that congregation. But 2 Corinthians 11, 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Okay, their end will be according to their works. Now, if you want basically like a commentary on what that means, read 2 Peter chapter 2 and the book of Jude. That will tell you what whose end will be according to their works means. False teachers, these false apostles, they're going to stand before God in judgment, and they are going to be condemned. So when it comes to the question of why do we believe and do the things that we believe and do, we had better have a word from God for it, and we'd better be willing to share that with others. Religion is not some better felt than told experience. It's not something that is handed down to us by family tradition. Now listen, if they're handing the truth down to you, then that's one thing. But there's actually another passage of Scripture that deals with the idea of tradition. It's over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to look at that in just a second. But if you've been handed down inspired tradition, in other words, tradition that originated with Jesus Christ and the apostles who were guided by the Holy Spirit, now that's one thing. But if you've been handed down traditions that originate with men and have no backing scripturally, that's a whole other ballgame. So listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'll start reading in verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, this passage here, 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 15, this connects directly with Acts chapter 17, because he says, we want you to stand fast in the traditions, whether we've written them to you or by word. Well, Paul communicated with them orally. He taught them. And now he's written two letters to them. He says, you need to hold on to these traditions. Now, you and I are not bound by oral tradition today. I actually had a Bible study with an individual, well, several Bible studies with an individual a while back who said that we are today, we are responsible for these oral traditions that have been handed down through the centuries. And so I asked him, I said, well, which ones? He said, well, you need to read the church fathers, okay, the second, third, and fourth century people who lived after the apostles and then wrote. And I said, well, is it the if that is the case, if we need to keep those traditions, does every Christian need to keep them? He said, well, no. And I pointed out in this verse here in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15, Paul says, stand fast and hold the traditions. So if we're responsible for oral tradition, if we need to know the things that are extra biblical, okay, that were written in the second, third, fourth century and they're not in the Bible, then every Christian has the responsibility to know those and to hold them. The Greek word for hold means to take hold of, and it's written in the imperative voice. In other words, it's a command. So from that guy's perspective, if you're a Christian and you're not doing what the church fathers said, men like Irenaeus and Eusebius and John Chrysostom and things like this, then you're not holding any traditions that you need to hold. And there are actually many in the religious world who believe this. But I'll go back to what Jesus said in John chapter 7 and verse 17. If any man wills to know his will, okay, again, God's will, he will know the doctrine, whether it came from God or whether it originated somewhere else. So that's our question for the day. Why do we do and believe the things that we do and believe religiously? Do we have a thus saith the Lord? And if not, well, what are we going to do about that? How do we change that? Well, the simple fact is we have to go to the Word of God and check our beliefs. And again, if we're holding to what's true, if we're holding to what's right, there's no fear in doing that. There's no fear of being upset that one of my traditions is going to get turned upside down or whatever the case may be. I want to know the truth. And it's God's Word that's truth. John 17, verse 17. All right, thanks for listening today to the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. Again, this article came from the August 1963 edition of the paper, and you can find that on our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com. And again, if you've not yet subscribed to our Podbean channel, I would encourage you to do that. You'll get notifications for each episode, and you can interact with each individual episode as well. Well, thanks again for listening today, and I will catch you again on the next episode of the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast.